Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy-Turner.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Josh Brown.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, folks. Now, I thought, obviously, before we do every podcast, we sit down, we try and think of whatever's going on in the industry, and we try and make that whatever the talking point is of a given week. Now, there's not that much out. There hasn't been for a long time now, to the point where most of us have forgotten what new games and stories even feel like. But there is stuff to break down in regards to the consoles and the hell of a week that Xbox has just had. So as someone who's privileged enough to have both systems, I know that, Josh, you've got a PS5. You're on the cusp of potentially getting a Series system. Ben Roy, you've also got both with the PS5, the Series S. I thought that all three of us should just sort of talk about the state of what feels like, at least to me, Microsoft / Xbox playing this master plan that they've sort of had an entire previous generation to plan out, playing every card expertly. It just feels like they know exactly what they're doing. Everything's going towards Game Pass. They have this massive plan, recruiting Bethesda, putting all these titles on Game Pass. Even Outriders is now coming out on Game Pass day one, whereas conversely, on the PlayStation side, it really doesn't feel like they know what they're doing. So many games are now cross-gen. There's so much stuff being delayed. They won't talk about God of War 2. There's other things as well in regards to, you know, the wave of 4K 60 upgrades and how well Xbox handles that versus the PlayStation side of things on the architecture side. And I just want to talk about all of it. So I guess you guys can pick wherever you want to start from. But as a statement, do you think that Xbox is doing, it's a master plan they're unveiling right now?
Yeah, and I've got serious FOMO at this point, guys. Like, I didn't for the longest time, but now it took me months because, you know, I've been sitting in these podcasts and on news and stuff. I've been like, look, I'll get a Series X when the games are there, you know. But over the past week or so, pretty much ever since the Bethesda acquisition properly went through, I've just found myself with cravings, and I've been looking at pre-order websites.
Highway, just 60 FPS.
They're going to get back in stock because, you know, I've decided that if we're in this kind of like gulf between new releases, I want to be able to play old games the best way possible, but also I want to be able to play games like Outriders without having to risk spending £70 or whatever on them. Like, I would love
without spending
to be able
some
to,
50s
without dropping some 50s on them, Ben Roy. Like multiple 50s, like games like Outriders or Godfall, which aren't usually my cup of tea, but I'm quite interested in, I think are perfect for Game Pass, and why that kind of like exists for people like me to be able to dip into these titles that I wouldn't get day one otherwise. It's not like they're losing a sale because I wouldn't buy it. If anything, I'm losing out on the opportunity to play it because I won't be able to get it.
That's what they want you to think.
It is, isn't it? But like, it's really worked. What can I say? It's really worked. And at this point, I want to get a Series X in. I just want to have it, and because I feel like what Microsoft is doing, what Phil Spencer's done over the past year or so, it just builds such a strong foundation that going forward, I'm looking forward to all of the things they have in motion and all of the plans that they've already announced. Like, give me, you know, the Bethesda games that I've just dropped in the crispest you know, versions possible. I want to play them. I want to be able to jump back into Oblivion, even though it sounds mad that I'm going to buy an Xbox Series X to play Elder Scrolls Oblivion. But that's where I'm at.
Hey, I got a 1X to play SSX 3 in 60 FPS 4K, and it was lovely. So, Ben, I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah, I mean, I've one of my friends who just has a Series, well, he actually has a Series X and a PS5 now, but it's just so many things I've seen revisiting or going back to, like when Resident Evil 4 and 7 were on Game Pass for a bit, he's gone through them both. He's now going to play Evil Within and then Prey and give Prey another shot because, you know, Bethesda's all over that now. And It's just a really good Gears machine. I've just now finally the last little chink in the armor, my third friend in our group sort of thing, has bought a Series S, and now we're going to go through all the Halos again this year. Like I haven't done every year since Game Pass was a thing. But it's just that it's nice to have a good legacy machine. Like, I'm not going to poo-poo on the Sony that much because I still think there's that merit in having either one or the other or both, but you can't deny, right? And I keep saying this, you look at like the slate of Bethesda games coming out, just take three of them, go, well, if I don't buy them here and I'll get them here on Game Pass, I've just saved up for a console. Like, if you get the Series S.
That's the thing that fascinates me, because I think for the longest time it was like, well, most of the consoles on the hardware side, let's just say they're neck and neck. Like, you could get either one. They're going to play third party stuff pretty much as well as each other. Some can, like, for example, Rocket League runs at 4K60 on the Series X. Could even do 120 frames a second, but it can't on the PlayStation. But for the most part, those games are neck and neck. But the conversation then became exclusives. And, oh my God, Sony has this incredible slate of exclusives, and that's the reason you want to go with PlayStation out of the two. But because Game Pass is now so insanely strong, and they've very much got out there and said, look, everything from Bethesda is going to be on Game Pass, and even things like Outriders, even if, because that's the thing, does an overwhelming wealth of games for a monthly fee trump the idea of single individual premium price tags? Like, that's kind of the crux of it.
I mean, I care about trophies, right? And I love the PlayStation. I've had a PlayStation since I was... barely could stand up. Like, Resident Evil 1 is 25 years old, like, next week. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing that on the PS1 at a stupid early age. But the thing is, like, then Xbox, then Phil Spencer takes the nostalgia, and if I had a hammer, about smashing it, go, oi, how about we just, there's 20 games on Game Pass now, just, and 20 more games, should I say, and all these other ones that have been on there. Like, when I played Void Bastard the other year, and there were a few other things that was coming out on there, just, I was trying for the first time and realizing, well, yeah, this is a great play. Hellblade, I didn't play until it came to Game Pass. It wasn't necessarily Game Pass, but it came through round to gold really quickly. The game where the really good, the platformer with the strawberries in it. I can never remember it. Yeah, Celeste. I played Celeste because they were just
happy
handing out.
Happy Strawberry Time Deluxe Edition.
Happy Strawberry Time with the mounting of feelings. And then, like, all the other LucasArts games that you can buy again, but they're like, just have it on gold or have it on Game Pass because, you know, the back combat thing works. So you're just like, whatever. And they just keep rolling more and more things into it when you're like, I forgot that existed. And they're bringing, like, Full Spectrum Warrior was like thrown
what
in there.
What a game, my friend.
I mean, just like, what was the last time anyone thought, but like, I'm not crapping on Full Spectrum Warrior, this but guy. When was the last time anyone was like, you know, I really want to play Full Spectrum?
I just bought it. I just rebought the original Xbox version because I read that it was on backwards compatibility. And I loved it. I think it's obviously the go-to thing, which has been for the longest time, is the sheer value for money side of it. Like, you're paying a monthly fee, you're getting a big library of titles. But something that Todd Howard started to speak on the recent live stream that him and the Bethesda and Microsoft or Xbox did, was that having access to the Xbox ecosystem and being backed by them financially eases the burden of, or, like, you know, lets them polish their games more, lets them take more time, lets them get things out the door in a way that he sort of, Todd Howard just acknowledged that Fallout 76 was pretty much on fire and just said that going forward, you know, we'll never do that again, we'll get better. I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, going forward, because we are representing the Xbox brand, we're gonna get this stuff right. That's a whole other thing. Like, you know, that idea of, like, you think of the eighth generation, and if we're running down things that exemplified the eighth generation, then bugs and glitches and broken day one games is going to be one of them, especially compared to previous generations. And I kind of wonder how much monthly rollouts of titles, where you know exactly what month you're going to be landing in. You have this ecosystem backing you up. You have guaranteed revenue because you're part of Game Pass. Is that actually the solution to a lot of the other problems that we have on a development sense?
I was just going to quickly say about Sony First Party. Like, that's like, compare like A Last of Us 2 to Cyberpunk last year. Like, how Cyberpunk literally melted through the floor, but The Last of Us 2, I never encountered a single glitch ever. And like, you pay all these older ones, like the God of War and stuff like that, like, because that's Sony security there. And now Bethesda are going to be wrapped up in a Microsoft security, where it's like, it's the difference between like working full time or going freelance. You're like scrambling and doing your bills and getting checked by checking. Like, you know, I'd have some ramen noodles today because I can't afford a shepherd's pie or something. It's just the security blanket is going to be nice to see, like, the next Fallout game and like Phil ain't gonna like come out broken. Like it's gonna, we're gonna have the next sort of big games are gonna have to like.
Well, that's what they did with Halo. Like they had to step in and be like, we can't let this go on Game Pass. We can't let this be the thing.
Yeah,
that
people they're gonna see. Have to fix it. And now, like, I just really want to know what Josh Brown was gonna say before I just trampled over him.
I can't even remember. I've just been lost because he said shepherd's pie, and I was like, that of course Ben Roy said shepherd's pie. Never thought about a shepherd's pie in years. I do agree, like the Microsoft security thing, like the first party security thing, is hopefully gonna be a big help, because Bethesda games, like you were just saying there, you know, for like the past 10 years, if not longer, have just been like a trash fire when it comes to releases. Like you look back even on a title like Skyrim, which everyone loves, sold really well, is a great game. Like that thing barely played on PlayStation 3s.
No.
Like that was broken fixed. As all hell at launch. Sorry, Benron?
I don't think it ever got fixed.
I don't think
they
did either.
They fixed the save
no.
bug. There was that whole thing where the save kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it bricked entire consoles. They fixed that, but I don't think they ever patched the whole thing out. Like that was just something that the fans eventually did.
Totally. It was just like, yeah, that's a great point as well. Like when it comes to Bethesda games, so often the fans have had to step in via mods or whatever, like fix things that should have been fixed or improve things that should have been improved. And when I was, you know, reading that interview and Todd was saying like, look, now we've got the backing of Microsoft, we're going to have all of these extra resources and we're not going to make the same mistake that we made with Fallout 76. You're not going to get a game in that state ever again. I want to believe them. I want to believe that Phil Spencer is going to be breathing down their necks being like, look, we've literally delayed Halo Infinite, which we were putting on every single Xbox Series X box, you know, there's a Master Chief inside every single console. That's our flagship thing. We delayed it.
I love Phil Spencer just not messing around. Like he's like, don't test me, I'll do it. Like I killed Scalebound, I delayed Halo. Like just don't test me. Like he's got the Series X over his shoulder. Like he's running in military style. Like don't push that man.
You kind of hope so. Obviously not in a awful way when he's literally whipping them. People. But,
I've just got a picture of him glory killing Todd Howard over and over again.
So don't make me go, here I go killing again. I don't want to have to do it again.
Well, you don't have to do it again. We don't want to get in a position where Bethesda haven't changed since this generation, because you know, I really love Fallout 4, but I can, you know, acknowledge that a lot of people were disappointed by it. It wasn't the big step forward that many expected it to be in terms of the engine and mechanics and systems. Then we got Fallout 76 and they've kind of been floundering, you know, it's kind of come back. He mentioned that it's one of the most played games on Xbox, which is cool. It's a cool comeback story. But, you know, they need hits from here on out, and hopefully having that support network and having just like a helping hand that they can reach out to, because like we were talking about in a previous podcast, you know, Bethesda's only been in the publishing game, especially for a little while. So to be able to suddenly have all of these toys at their disposal and all of these extra hands that can hopefully polish their, you know, practices up without taking away the heart of the company. I think that if they get that balance right, it's going to be good. And like I said, that's why I'm just so excited to jump into the Xbox ecosystem yet again with the Series X.
It's a side point to this, but I feel like the whole Todd Howard, like I mentioned it before, obviously you followed on from it, like his whole thing of like, oh, you know, now that we've got all these resources, we're not going to do that again. It's like, you're Bethesda, you have Fallout Shelter, you have Fallout Elder Scrolls, you have plenty of money to make sure that you could have enforced quality control practices. Like I get the, he's almost underlying saying like, well, we're part of Xbox now, so we fundamentally can't do another Fallout 76 because it'll bring a hell of a lot more ire down on us going forward. But that's a weird, perfect PR plan Fallout, like, for them, ironically, because now he just gets to go like, well, you know, like that was just something that we did because we're Bethesda, but like, oh, we're quirky, crazy Bethesda, and now we've been like reined in, got our suit and tie on, we need to do it properly going forward.
It's like, imagine like there's the term saying we'll fix it in post on like film and TV, but imagine it's like we'll fix it after it's on iPlayer sort of thing or something like that, you know, we'll after it's on Netflix. Like, no, that's I mean, it's apples and oranges when you talk about like, say, a film or a show and then like a game. But I feel like also Bethesda set the precedence for a while of like, well, people love our stuff, so what if we just put it out there and then just fix it as we go along? Mm-hmm. And
Todd himself was saying, you know, they have like a healthy relationship with the modding community, and we're going to, like with Starfield, they were going to stick with the Creation Engine. Is it the Creation Engine that's their newest one? Embryo was before that, I think.
I think it is.
Whatever it is, whichever the game engine that they've had for the last few games, they were like, oh, we're going to use that again for Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 because the modding community likes it. And it was like, yeah, I guess, but like millions of us would rather not have our characters take off in the middle of a fight and just have something that actually works. So I think that's the whole thing. Josh, what were your quick thoughts on the idea of like the value for money stuff? Like, do you still view, once the exclusives start trickling in, that's obviously going to rebalance things pretty substantially, but like that whole conversation around like, is a monthly Game Pass of stuff worth more than exclusives? And like, because I guess assumedly if PlayStation did the same thing and just like started putting their titles on PlayStation Now, then is PlayStation way up again because their exclusives are so much stronger anyway?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, when it comes to exclusives, all this, you know, conglomerate of different releases on Games Pass, I'd always kind of like veer towards exclusives because we've chatted about it before, but when I go on Game Pass, unless there's something specific I want, often I'll jump in and out of things, you know, maybe play something for 2 hours, play something for an hour over here, but not properly dig my teeth into something in the same way I do when I actually buy something full price or even half price or whatever. But at the same time, you know, it's undeniably great value. And if Microsoft can, going forward, you know, take first party games from Bethesda, take first party games from the Coalition or whoever, and if they manage to up the level of quality to the level that Sony currently is coasting on with God of War, Last of Us, you know, Spider-Man, whatever, if they manage to hit that level while also having Game Pass and having them available on Game Pass, like that's just it's a total home run. Like Sony, I don't think can compete with that by continuing to release games at $70, because, you know, people will still buy them. I will, of course, still buy them. But if you're like someone looking between the consoles and you're, you know, you might not have enough money to spend on both consoles, so to buy loads of games, you're looking at the value proposition. And undeniably, you know, even speaking as like a Sony fan here, like what Microsoft have to offer on that front is just kind of like so much more, because not only are you getting this massive library of games, but then presumably you're getting these excellent titles from Obsidian. You're getting these excellent titles from Bethesda. You might be getting Starfield on Game Pass day one. And if you're someone who only buys a few games a year, or if you're, like I said, looking between the consoles, you see all of the stuff that comes in with that. And it's, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's like, why wouldn't I get that over spending £70 on Godfall on PlayStation 5? Why?
They just, I mean, with Outriders, like they're sowing the seed of like, hey, you don't even know what other stuff we're going to lock down. Like Outriders is out in a few weeks. And then as of like yesterday, you know, like March 15th or whatever, it's going to be on Xbox as part of Game Pass. And that's published by Square Enix, like one of the most money hungry, money first publishers that there are, who are still happy taking whatever slice of the pie Game Pass is when spread across X number of titles that are on the service. So I think that side of it is kind of fascinating as well. And we should talk about the architecture of the consoles, because for me, I feel like Xbox have planned for this stuff way longer than Sony have in regards to like obviously they couldn't have foreseen what was going to happen last year. Obviously we're still going through all the lockdown pandemic-y stuff, and I feel like everything that is built into the Xbox architecture in regards to smart delivery and the saves tracking between whether you play it on xCloud or you know, between different systems, everything is always ready for you whenever you're logging into a specific game. Whereas on the Sony side, it's a complete mess. And they had to even patch in the whole, make sure you push the three buttons to make sure you get the right version of the game. And even then it might not pull the right save in. You might have to reconnect your PlayStation 4 and re-upload it because maybe you've hit an invisible data capacity and we haven't pulled the right save in. Ben Roy, as someone who goes between both systems, how have you found those things? Because I didn't used to notice until I really started juggling multiple games and multiple saves and all that kind of stuff.
PlayStation 5's UI is, trash. And I don't like it. And I don't understand. I don't like it. So, but I don't understand why they changed it so much and why it's not even like half changed, because you go like a layer or two deep and it's just the PS4 again. But yeah, they've just, it's like what they've done is they've scraped the icing off and put another like coating on or something like that. And like, that will be fine. Or they've, you know, they've taken some wallpaper off the wall and just put over and just tried like buried trophies, like two menus deep and things like that. And just the versions making that all awkward. And I kept loading up the Hitman 3 PS4 version for a while. I was like, no, man, I don't want to do this right now. And it kept wanting to default back to that. The PlayStation 5 wanted to download the, wanted to play the PS4 version. Like, stop it. So I have a bunch of like bloody trophies popped on that for no reason.
Like,
now.
Like, yeah, I had like multiple versions of the same game installed until I viewed them on the storage menu. And I was like, well, the PS4 version's not even meant to be here. Like, I'm clearly playing the PlayStation 5 one.
I didn't trust the delete it show either, because I felt like if I deleted it, then it would have killed the game in some way. So I left it for a bit. But then on the same side, for a lot of part, Xbox is great. It's great with the versions and stuff, but I don't like that UI.
The Windows phone thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's still... like that main menu past that, I don't even want to look at that. I just stick to the side bar thing and I try and navigate through that. I'm now past the point about a year and a bit later of like, I'll stop, not having to ask my friend like, wait, which way do I have to go for this? But even like when I was capturing footage of Resident Evil 3, like I couldn't find it. And I guess maybe just because I'm not used to it as much, but they're, put it this way, PS4, like I couldn't have found anything wrong with that, to be fair. Then we jumped to the PS5 and they just sort of like muddled it up. But the Xbox is technically better on a technical level, but still they don't, it's still a bit difficulty to get around there sometimes as well. So
it's very Microsoft, like it's very Windows Phone. It's very like, well, we gave you 8 tiles all on the same screen, clearly that's everything you want to do. It's very like, it's the way the a coder would approach a problem as opposed to a UI designer. And I get that. That's always been Microsoft's thing, and I get that people love that.
At least there are no ads anymore. Well, like, remember, like towards the end of the 360 and in the Xbox One era, like sometimes your first prompt would be an ad, and like, just what is going on here, sort of thing. So I'm glad that's totally just dead.
Mm-hmm. I will say that. I mean, I quite like the PS5 UI. I get what you mean about them burying the trophies, that stuff where you've got to button out and go back into a whole separate
holding
thing.
The button down to you can't hold the button down to turn it off, and everyone hates this. And
I don't mind that. I just press it and go to the end, and then
no,
I
mean, get it and hold it and go. You still do it on the Xbox here. I can still do it.
They're trying to differentiate with a little spongy button.
I will say though, I had a scare the other day on my PS5. My controller just stopped working. I was like, well, I can't do anything.
This is a whole other thing because I've had a bunch of hardware problems. But,
and I had to go on YouTube and I had a few videos that were like not the right thing to do, like shoving pins into it. Like where you have to hold the button on the PS5, then it goes into the back menu, and then you've got to rebuild the database to get the controller to come back. And like, unlike an Xbox where you can just take the battery pack out and then rejig it, and then it comes, you can sort of do it like that, like a hard reset. Like the problem with like smartphones where you can't do that, you've got to do some weird system thing. And
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
like it does say it will take hours, but I think depending how much data you're on there, that's how long it will take. But I've not had a scare on the Xbox yet, but I've had like two on the PS5. I'm like, what's
going on? There's
something
about the way that they're built where I feel like the Xbox is more reliable. Like my PlayStation 5, every time I turn it on, it says, please wait, ... And I have to wait. It's about 20 seconds before it actually starts up and gives me the login screen. Yeah. I've had that for months. And apparently the way you get around that is to completely factory reset it, which I'm just not going to do. And so I will maybe eventually, but there's that. There's the fact that, I've had the disconnect issues. I've had the console just not responding to the controller. I've had to sort of hold the button down, reconnect it with the USB, get it back on. And I don't know if you guys have tried many physical discs, but whenever I put a disc in, it literally sounds like a lawnmower. It's so loud. And apparently that's a common thing they've got on the Sony website saying, well, you want to take the disc drive panel off and re-loosen one of the screws because it's too tight. That's what's causing something to flap on the internal and you need to free that back up again. And I'm like, none of this is happening on the Xbox side. Like, what the hell were you guys doing?
The thing is with that, like, I've not had any of the mad disc noises, but every now and then, like the PS5, like say once every couple of days, you just go, and it's like, you're right, you're just coughing something up or something like that, and then it just goes back to normal. I'm like, don't start doing this stuff yet. Like, I've just purchased you, and we're not even 6 months in, and it's doing some scary things. Where
the random fan spin up thing is that you're playing a completely different game, and it'll still just kick the fans back in
on the menu. It'll just go. What's going on,
dudes? Man, like I had a moment the other day, and I don't know whether it was the controller itself or whether it was just the game, but I was playing Call of Duty Warzone because that's all I do now. And we were like, final circle, man. It was me and my squad, final circle. We were so close to the end. And as soon as we got ambushed by these dudes, I got this awful drift in my controller where my controller froze. And it just locked my character into moving left. So I just had to stand
like drift
while my mates were getting like shot. And my guy was just walking into the gas. And I was like, this is great. This love this. Excellent. And it only fixed when I turned the controller off and turned it back on again. But I was like, why is this happening? What's going on? And like, you know, you're talking about scares there. Like, I've not had like a moment where I've thought like the whole thing was broken, but I've had far too many times where it shut itself down and it's had to rebuild the database. I'm like, what's going on? What's happening with you when I go to bed? Like, because nothing... Unless there's a ghost coming in my flat messing around with like the electronics. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's so temperamental.
The lad behind you is playing it.
I was going to say, do you get like a feeling of reliability from the console? Like it feels like something that was worth £500.
Yes. Well,
I don't. I mean, to be honest, I do and I don't. Like I did more at launch. Like I'm bathing in the, you know, the haptics, and it's got Astro Boy's built in, and it's a premium thing. I like the UI. I like the whole trophies being on the little mini card thing. The suggestion. I like the idea.
Also crap.
That got me into chasing platinums.
And you go into the trophy thing, and it's not vertical anymore. It's what the hell is going on here?
You can sit by not earned, and then you just little cards up.
They improved the app tenfold and then just took a gun to the back of the PS5 and like, your trophy function's now crap. I try not to swear, man. It's so infuriating. Horrible. And I hate the card thing. Like,
I love that thing.
Get out of my life.
I like the thing that they're not taking advantage of the whole like built-in help stuff at all, because only the first party title is going to afford to spend the dev time doing that. But I like the whole like, it suggests, hey, by the way, you're only like 3 out of 5 kills off this thing, so why don't you just do it? Like, I think that's cool. Like, Xbox has
that
too.
How about just like figure out what Xbox did and just go there and say, like, if you're doing individual things, like in a PUBG, for example, kill 50 people with a grenade. Since that game came out, it's tracked every number. But the PlayStation, even with the PS5 now and this new card thing, which is apparently, I'm shooting on you here, the greatest things. we learned how to take bread and slice it.
That is what my tattoo says.
But they can't track numbers like that properly yet. Or they can in a way, but not in this Playmobil way where I don't want to look at these big pictures. I want to look at just a nice confined list. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not some child in like this ball pit anymore. Just give me some text with the occasional image. I'll be fine.
I think for the most part, the general reception to the card thing has been negative. I feel like I didn't care about trophies at all until I got on PS5. And then I was like, oh my God, like, oh yeah, I'm super close to getting this next thing. I might as well. And I've got like 5 platinum since then. So it has totally worked for me. But what was the thing you were going to say, Josh, before?
I've not used the card thing. Like, I've not used it once.
Really?
I like that it exists, but every single time I boot up Mortal Kombat, and it's like, do you want to have a versus match? I'm like, nah.
I barely use that. I just mean the trophy suggestion thing gets me trying stuff. Gets me, it's, oh, you, you right. know, you, a bronze trophy awarded for, like, you know, two fatalities with this character. I'm like, well, like, yeah, I'll do that. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't know, man. I haven't hunted trophies since I started getting the PlayStation 5. I like the PlayStation 5 UI, but like, Roy, I'm just like, why did you tamper with this? And of course, you know, change is fine. You know, they can change whatever they want, but why is it hidden within two layers? Why do I have to go through these weird cards? Why? It was, for me, like, the PlayStation 4 UI was more or less perfect. You know, it was very slow and occasionally very clunky, but in terms of layout, I always thought it was very accessible. Mm. And for me, all they had to do was transfer that over and make it more integrated with what they have now, where you can just get it up at the bottom and you don't have to flick completely out of the game and stuff. And like, that would have been cool. It wouldn't have been like this major difference that they could sell the machine on. But for me, it still would have been more than what Microsoft did, which is essentially just like, well, we're going to do exactly what we did before. We could continue down this tile business that I've never liked. You know, I'm shooting on the PS5 UI here, but like, the Xbox One literally makes me sad. It makes me somber. What, like, going on it makes me not want to play games.
The thing that's really, because another thing to bring this back to the whole, like, Xbox playing this masterful hand thing, or the idea that they're playing this hand that they've sort of been, you know, preparing for the last few years, is that I feel like, for as bad or as cumbersome or as obtuse as the Xbox dashboard can be, when you log in, they have a big old card on the opening dashboard saying, hey, this game just got added. Like, all the Bethesda stuff got added. We saw the conference. Maybe you saw it on Twitter. You saw, like, you know, rumblings of it. You put the Xbox on. Here's the Bethesda collection. Dive in, play Morrowind. And it works. Like, that connective tissue is right there. And I feel like Sony don't have that. And obviously it's because they don't have as many things to announce, because they don't have that ecosystem. They don't have PlayStation Now on the level of Game Pass. But because I have all these notifications coming in from the PlayStation app and the Xbox app, I feel like if I'm going to fold something else into, oh man, Xbox have been planning this for so long, I get the ping in the morning, like every other day, saying, hey, by the way, this thing's been added. Tap here to download or whatever. And then I go through and it's on the Xbox, or I go through and it's ready to be downloaded. I feel like that ecosystem is so much tighter. And they're letting you know that you are subscribed to this monthly service. Like, they got you, fam. There's a ton of stuff that's going to be there for you. Whereas Sony just don't. Sony's just kind of like, you know, you'll figure it out.
The smartest thing they've done, is they were losing the traditional model, right? They were losing the console wars.
That's the thing, yeah.
The console wars are over, they're dead. Begun the streaming wars have, because they've just literally gone, oh, well, we're just going to go over here and just sort this thing out. And now Game Pass is shadowing over PS Now. Because, like, is it Gaikai that PlayStation bought?
That was their streaming tech, yeah. Which they abandoned and let you download stuff anyway.
We thought, oh, Sony's going to do this and it's going to be great. Well, they abandoned to an extent because they can't work out how to get the PlayStation 3 games to be downloaded onto your machine and work. To the point where you're even, to get a trophy to pop properly, you've got to open up a virtual PS3 and get there. And when I first had to do that, after 7 years of not touching a PS3, and all my PS4 games had to register to this virtual menu before I could see my Metal Gear 2 trophies. I was just like, oh my God, is this going to die? And then the PlayStation 5 went for a bit, and I was like, oh.
Because another thing is, like, in regards to that, like, one of the things that, like I said, we talked about, you know, like, that this whole current wave that we're in of, you know, 4K 60 upgrades and, like, migrating your progress across to the next version. And I remember, again, it was Rocket League, it was Psyonix saying that because of the way the PlayStation is built, there's still no PlayStation 5 version of Rocket League, whereas there is an Xbox Series version of that game, because the smart delivery thing allowed that game to migrate across and all the achievements carried across. Whereas now, if you play the PS5 version of Mortal Kombat 11 and you've already got a bunch of trophies, and this happened to me last night with Crash 4 as well, all the trophies just repop all at once in the corner of the screen because they haven't thought ahead enough, and it almost feels like they're laying down the track grommet style as they go. And I feel like, you know, it's functional enough, but like on the Crash's side, if you didn't upload your save to their private cloud server from the PlayStation 4 version of Crash 4, then it's not ready for you on the PlayStation 5 version. So if you've disconnected your PS4, then you're screwed. You have to go back. Maybe you've sold it. You have to go back and find, you've just lost your save. Whereas like on the Xbox side, all that stuff is taken care of.
I've also got an issue.
I've heard all day, man. Why? Yeah. Why? Oh, so looking forward to playing Crash 4 on PS5 and now knowing that the thing's not going to have...
Oh, well, see, yeah, okay, so yeah, you'd be screwed. I mean, you might have the cloud save, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't work, the PlayStation Plus save. I think it has to be through their private server, which is what loads of third-party devs have had to do.
Even their PlayStation stuff, right? Like, I've got this issue bug thing where it just won't leave me alone and I don't know what to do with it. And I'm Googling and I can't find it where... It says I've got so much space, right? But then it goes, that's all a lie and I have to go... And it says about gigs and gigs of save data is spare, but then I go into my notifications, I've got 99 notifications, but we couldn't upload this, like on the PS4. I'm just like,
Oh, that's, if you're on the PlayStation side, that, well, this is also indicative of the problem, that there are just things that happen that they don't tell you what it is. I mean, it's not like the Xbox UI is that much better. Sometimes it just says something's gone wrong.
It's like NW3, and it's just like, I've had a look, I can't find it. I'll just delete this Wolfenstein save from bloody whenever it was, sort of thing. And, you know, just things like that that I've never encountered. I didn't do anything to the Xbox route. I just sort of like, to the Xbox One, I just like, as I unplugged it quickly, just threw it away, and then put the Xbox Series S in, and it just all just bounced on there. But I will say, like, there is a flaw with it. So, like, was it Quick Resume? Mm-hmm. Well, I've had problems with that because a lot of games I play on Quick Resume need to ping a server, and if the game needs to ping a server when it's on Quick Resume, you might as well just quit it, because it's going to take longer to re-register and wake up and wonder where it is before you can even play it properly. So, yeah.
Well, Quick Resume was the thing that cost me in total, like, I don't know, 20 hours of Immortals Fenyx Rising, because I lost three separate saves because I was playing off a quick resumed version, and then that default re-corrupted the saves previous. It was a whole thing, three times in a row. But I feel like they've got better with quick resume. But the thing that sucks is that there's nothing built into the UI to bring up a list of everything that is currently quick resumed. Like, there's no way to view suspended games. It's just that you might go back to something from last week and it'll pop up and say quick resume. And it's
worked.
Like, I guess that was waiting for me.
With the medium, it worked wonders, right? But with Gears 5, we're just like, I might as well get a screwdriver and get that bit of the hard drive out and just start again, because it just takes, in this world of where we all expect things immediately, it takes too long.
Well, if that's what they're advertising, I think they should deliver on it. Like, I obviously get the whole, you know, retrospective, we've come so far with gaming, oh my God, look at us, being annoyed about these features. But at the same time, they advertise them and they're a lot of money and everything else. So, like, you know, you need to be able to deliver on them. Josh, what's your thoughts on, I guess you might not have juggled as many back and forward saves between different things.
Yeah, I'd say I don't have, like, the same kind of, I don't know.
A Crash 4 thing that you said, like, yeah. Did you have the Mortal Kombat problem going between different versions, or did you get the PS5 one?
When I booted that up, my cloud save carried along, but I'd only just started that, so it was, like, negligible. And I restarted the story anyway, you know what I mean? But when it comes to, like, you know, moving different versions between the consoles and stuff, like, there's a lot of worry that I have when I'm going to go back to older titles, and I don't know if my save's on the cloud, I don't know if I'll have to boot up the old PlayStation 4 Pro to get it over and stuff like that. For me, when it comes to, like, what the PlayStation 5 is capable of, I'm like, you mentioned earlier, like, do I regret, or do you think it's worth half a granny on it?
Premium price tag, yeah.
And I do think it is for, like, the technology involved, but there is a lot of questions to be raised about whether or not the machine was ready. You know, we're talking about these small issues, which, you know, might have been shippable. They might have been totally fine to ship with, like, with the knowledge that you might have to take a screw out. You might have to, like, make
I'm
a few alterations.
I'm getting ready to do that
tonight.
I've got the Phillips screwdriver in the kitchen ready to attack my PS5 with it.
I think the biggest issue is kind of like some of the features that they promised. I think me and you talked about this maybe even earlier, Scott, before we started recording, but like they announced the 3D audio and you can get it in headphones, but you can't get it on a system level, which was hyped up in the very first Mark Cerny interview. And it's like, I know you did the same thing with the suspend play on the PlayStation 4, but just because you've done it before doesn't necessarily excuse you. And I did excuse them like a few months ago when they initially announced they were going to delay it. But now I'm like, was it just not ready? Like, did you just rush this out because there are still features you're working on? There are still things you're tweaking. And obviously, machines now in the current age, they're always in flux. They're always evolving. The PlayStation 4 that we started with wasn't the same as the PlayStation 4 that we ended with. You know what I mean? A lot of features were added. A lot of things were changed. And the same thing is going to be happening with the PlayStation 5. But again, in terms of, you know, why do I want the Xbox Series X? And it's because I don't feel like there's anything on the horizon for PlayStation outside of Horizon, which is coming at some point, but even that doesn't have a date. And I'm like,
yeah,
I want
like
something to fill
Returnal.
Yeah, Ratchet, of course. Yeah, Ratchet
right.
is probably the big one. I'm quite looking forward to Returnal, but Ratchet seems like the biggie. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm finding myself drawn to the Xbox because I'm like, well, at least that has stuff for me to do.
Well,
right
that was,
now
that was one of the things I was going to say, and we can kind of like finish on this point, but I was going to say, like, the whole access to third-party stuff, the backwards compatibility thing, the idea of, like, say you open up a storefront and you want to buy an old game, you want to revisit something, you are better off doing that on Xbox because of all the auto inbuilt up-res stuff. Like, they've started rolling out FPS boost to the Bethesda titles as of the, you know, recent additions to the storefront, but there are other games that have FPS boost. Everything gets an HDR boost, like, everything gets a basic frame rate boost anyway. And so when you compare that to the PlayStation side, where you're paying the same amount of money for what is the basic version of that game, there's no reason to not go to Xbox for that stuff. Like, they've done the homework, they've got the architecture, and like I said, it's part of this like master plan kind of thing. And I feel like it's kind of it's weirdly been aided by the fact that right now all the exclusives aren't ready, because we have to just compare how both systems approach third-party libraries. But the way PlayStation does it is just to play that game the way that it always was. Whereas maybe it loads a bit faster if it happens to be coded in a way that takes advantage of an SSD. But on the Xbox side, it'll actively improve that game. And that's something that is a night and day difference for the vast majority of titles.
There's like an improvement to PUBG where like it runs great now, but that's probably exactly the same on the Xbox. But I've not really played much where you can go to and from and check it out, sort of thing. Like, I did notice the difference between there was a specially made Hitman for PS5 versus for PS4. There was like you don't see nothing when you first play, but you go back and forth and actually there is something wrong here, and that also killed me because their server side thing then ruined my progress. But yeah, like. Even there's a caveat of everything PlayStation right now. We're like, Returnal looks great, but I don't know if it's not going to be
the game, is it?
Like, I don't know if it's not the £70 thing I'm spending £70 on. And then like Ratchet and Clank is you either want that, you don't, and that's a game I'm going to wait for. Like, I'm not jumping in with that straight away. I'll be there like in spirit, I guess. And then Horizon. Even though every Xbox game is going to be on the series, I can't remember his name anymore, Don Matrick. Yes. Like, if the fact that her new Horizons is going to be on PS4 is like, and then like, what? Just tell us. Just say now. No, even though every website is going to go, just say there's no God of War coming out this year, because yeah. No God of War is coming out this year. So just stop it and tell us. And also, I've said PlayStation Now is great before, but I think if you live with someone else. If someone else watches a YouTube video on the same connection, sometimes the PS Now will just go, oh, guys, yeah. I need to stop. And you get the warning. And if you're in a game, if you're in an older game, which isn't designed to save straight away, you've got a ticking time bomb before that thing just goes, I've got off myself, sorry. So yeah, there's all these sort of things right now with PlayStation, whereas like on Xbox side, you've just got, oh, here's 20 more games. And by the way, you can play everything from Bethesda where Game Pass is available. And then you're like, oh, well, he's basically just said the thing, but he won't say it. He's just going to use legalese until we get the announcement.
Well, yeah, that'll be a whole thing going forward as well, like doubling down on getting massive buys like that and securing more titles for the future. But yeah, I just, as you know, having gone between both systems for what is like over 100 days now, like it's a good few months, they're not night and day, but I think it's because I have, like I said, all those hardware problems on the PlayStation side, all the infrastructural problems, the UI problems, and the fact that everything just runs better on the Series X, to the point where I'm playing Rocket League on both systems and one of them is 64K 120 and the other one is the PS4 version still. Like, I guess the visuals are upgraded, but yeah, things like that I think stand out. And I feel like it's taken a while to see the plan that Microsoft have had, but now it feels like they're playing a bunch of hands, you know, pretty confidently, and it's like standing out. And it's weird because it puts the onus specifically on the exclusives, because Sony cannot keep up with the third party stuff unless they suddenly bulk out PlayStation Now, which they're not going to be able to do soon enough to contend on, you know, until at least a good few more months in the future. So I think it's, we're in an insane time where really they're able to take advantage of just how flat everything is right now. Well,
Sony did not, I feel like Microsoft are throwing things up there when it's relevant, but like Sony, they sneakily took Spider-Man off PS Now like the month before Spider-Man Miles Morales came out. Just, right. Oh, but you want to buy it again on PS5, don't you? Like, so they're doing things like that. I've noticed where I feel like Xbox is, because they have to be, because they're on the second foot, even though they're part of Microsoft, one of the biggest corporations of all time. So they're being like, they're happy, we love you now. And Sony is still, Sony haven't done the whole, they fall into the trap like they did with PS3, but they sort of like half, they're on the toe, they're, oh, and they fell over and they're trying to recorrect themselves, but just wherever they can quick enough, and whether Microsoft isn't, but Microsoft aren't climbing the hill. They're just going all the way around, and then there's going to be no way out for PlayStation. They're going to be surrounded, and then from within, just be engulfed, I guess.
Because it's strange, like going like, well, like you said, like they can't compete on the exclusive front, or at least they could have done if they planned this years ago. But then when the Xbox Series systems came out, they didn't arrive with 8 brilliant exclusives.
Rise, Son of Rome 2.
Exactly. Yeah, there's nothing like that. or Sunset Overdriver or Overdrive 2. There's been nothing like that. So it's kind of like, you know, weirdly, this entire thing has worked in their favor, where they can rely on the architecture and the hardware and the Game Pass and the ecosystem and all that kind of thing. Stuff that Sony do not have. But on the same side, for Sony, they don't have the exclusives to say, hey, look at us. You need to stick with PlayStation because we have all this stuff. And I just think it puts them in such an interesting position. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. If you've been able to get both systems, let us know what you think comparing the two, or what your general thoughts are on the current next gen as it rolls out. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye.
And Josh Brown.
Bye-bye.
And if you're listening on the audio side, please stick around until after the lovely tunes for a word from our sponsor. Till then, bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.